talk about volleyball. We will, as always, mention our most valuable teammate, but this is a special edition of Preps Today with John Millay. We are again at the Pizza Barn, and this time we are here for our 200th episode. You have spent way too much of your life with me, John. Thank you. Congratulations for surviving that. We're here with Jody Stay, the owner of the Pizza Barn, who's been such a great, not just sponsor, but ally, friend.
Part of the family.
You know, dining companion, part of the family. So we're up here in Princeton. We're going to have a fun show. We're going to hit some issues. We're going to talk to Jody Stay about, you know, prep sports, her kids, her influence on this community. And, of course, we will be asking John about the big volleyball vote. But first of all, thank you, Jody. Great to be here again.
Glad to have you back up here.
We just had your pizza. It was great, as always. And thanks to Brianne Burdett, who's up here running the show today. John, let's do volleyball first, and then we'll talk to Jody about some other things.
Volleyball is our main series.
Today it is, yes.
Boys volleyball. We're right now, as we're speaking here, we're a day past a big decision on the high school level made Tuesday. It's an involved process to make big changes with the high school league. This is the big step in any process like this. The representative assembly, 48 members representing schools from around the state. They met Tuesday morning, and the big thing was, are we going to have boys volleyball as a sanctioned sport? Boys have been playing volleyball on the club level for, I think, 5 years. There's lots of teams, lots of kids. They've hammered the stone. This is the third time the volleyball folks have come through, and they came so close. They fell one vote short. There's 48 members. You need two-thirds voting yes, which means 32. The vote was 31 in favor, 17 opposed, fell short by one. And I'll tell you what, the people behind the boys volleyball growth in Minnesota, they did a great job in making their case, as they have all the way through. But like I said, this was the third time they've tried this, the second time before the Rep Assembly. I know how disappointed they are, and you could feel it in the room as we're all counting votes. It's a roll call vote, one by one. And the way these things work, there are the three big steps. If you want to add a sport, anything with high school league bylaws, which is the Bible, it's an actual book, there's three steps. You got to get the board of directors to approve. That's happened. That's happened twice. And then we split the state. The high school league splits the state into 16 regions. Each region has a committee. So at least you got to have a majority vote of those regions. So 9 of the 16 have to say yes to boys volleyball. That's happened twice. And then the third and final step, you got to get two-thirds of the Rep Assembly members to vote yes, and that's been the stumbling block. A year ago, in a Zoom meeting, they were two votes short. This week, in an in-person meeting in a hotel ballroom, one vote short. And I don't know where they go from here. Lots of people on Twitter have asked me after the vote, after I tweeted out the results, to explain the no votes. Well, there's 17 people who voted no. They could all have a different reason. I don't know. I'm not going to try to speak for them. But it's just it's interesting how this works. A year ago, the proposal from the boys volleyball community said we want it to be a spring sport, and they fell short by two votes. This year's proposal was adjusted. They didn't ask for a specific season. They just said, if it's approved, we'll work out the details. And I had a tweet ready to go that said, you know, boys volleyball has been approved. Here's the vote totals. A task force will study it, decide on a season, and it'll start next year or the year after. Well, that tweet was never sent. And the way the Rep Assembly works, there's half the members, 24 represent small schools, the other half, 24 from large schools. And these are all school people, coaches, athletic directors, principals, superintendents, some teachers. The roll call vote was taken. So, you know, we know it'll be, the minutes will be on the high school league website. But some people, I guess, want their pound of flesh. They want to know who voted no. I don't know why that's important, but as I was tallying the votes, and this is unofficial, I had it as the 24 small school members voted 14 yes and 10 no, and the 24 members from large schools voted 17 yes and 7 no. And it was really dramatic. I thought for sure this was going to pass easily. I thought that the last time, too. So we're in a big hotel ballroom with a really nice group of boys volleyball players and supporters. They had signs. They were well-behaved. They were really enthusiastic. And when I'm counting my votes like everybody else in the room, I mean, it was jarring to me that they came that close because I know how hard they worked. And it's interesting, before the vote, the 48 members, they break into six small groups. They go to small rooms, take 30 or 40 minutes discussing it. Each group reports back. And they, a lot of what they said from the groups was positive. Yeah, this is a great opportunity for kids. This should happen. But some of the concerns were finances, which is always the thing with schools. Transportation, officials, gym space, if the weather's bad and outdoor teams have to come indoors. And some people didn't, you know, they didn't like the fact that the proposal didn't ask for a specific season, which they did last time and it didn't pass. And so, and I think some small schools, I think that I'm not going to speak for anybody, but to me, my sense was people from small schools are thinking we're never going to have enough boys to play volleyball, but we don't want to stop the big schools. But somebody expressed concern that if it is approved, boys in small schools who might not have enough kids, boys in their school to have a team, will push for a co-op team, which is pretty common all over the state. But you could have six, seven, eight schools coming together to form one boys volleyball team. And then you, logistically, with buses and transportation and scheduling, that was expressed. And I think some of these members of the assembly, I think they might have questions about how much of the push for boys volleyball is coming from people affiliated with non-high school volleyball, the Junior Olympic volleyball world, the business of training volleyball players, you know, outside the school setting. And I was concerned. I don't think this impacted the vote, but I question the optics. They had a rally before the vote, like at 7 a.m. that morning. All the boys volleyball supporters had a rally. TV cameras were there, but they didn't do it at a high school. They went to the Minnesota Select Volleyball Center in Osseo, which is a private business where you can pay them and your kids will be on volleyball teams. And optically, I don't think that was the best. And I've thought about this a lot after the vote. I think there's kind of a pandemic hangover in schools. Everybody's been through so much. How much is too much? And you know, bless these people who work in schools. Everything they've gone through, and all the kids and all the families. But and every time something like this happens, the question is raised: how much can we do? How many activities can we do? Some schools may feel like they're at their maximum. We don't have the money, we don't have the time, we don't have the staff. You know, where's that line? It's probably a different line at every school, and then the uncertainty of school funding in Minnesota, you know, that's where we're at right now, that's part of it. And about, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago, one of the main proponents of boys volleyball called me on the phone. It's somebody I've known for a long time, and we chatted about it, and the word there was, if it fails this time, they're not coming back to the high school
league. Really?
Which is surprising. And I don't know if that's the case. I don't know where they go. They did make the point, as proponents spoke to the board, the club model, which they have now, they don't think it's sustainable because families are paying for everything. And they'd like the schools to take over that. So, but the passion of these people involved in this is really impressive, especially among the boys who play the sport. And they had, I don't know, 5 or 6 boys who play volleyball speak to the assembly, and they were awesome. You can see how excited they were about their sport, and just at the thought of it becoming a high school league sport, they did a great job. It's a bad thing. I mean, it would have been great. It would have been a positive in a lot of ways, but this is the way the system works. This is the process, But I feel especially bad for these boys and younger kids who want to play volleyball. But the sport's not going away. The schools that have it will continue to play volleyball as a club sport. They have state tournaments. The numbers are going to continue to grow. Who knows what the future will hold? Will they not come back? Will they come back? I don't understand how they don't come back.
Right, if that close.
This is the goal. Lord. And, maybe things are different in a year or two. We'll have to see what happens. But it was really I have a hard time describing it. I went into that thinking, okay, this is the day. All these kids in the back, they're going to be really happy. There's going to be a celebration, great opportunities for more kids. And it went the other way by one vote. I can't I have trouble relating this to anything else I've seen. You know, I was there in the room when lacrosse was approved years ago, and 1 year ago, girls wrestling was approved easily, and I thought this was the time for boys volleyball. But like I said, we'll see what the future holds. It's up to them now.
Interesting. And by the way, Jody, if you have any questions or anything you want to say, just chime in. You were a part of the show. But while Jody's thinking about a question to drill you with, I will let you know that Preps Day with John Millay is part of TalkNorth.com. We recommend subscribing to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. But you can always go to TalkNorth.com, find the show, find the archives of the shows, find all our other shows. We've just added Dave Lee from WCCO fame to our network. We've added Mike Grimm. We've added On the Bench, which is a cool hockey show. John Krasinski on the Wolves is great. Cheryl Reeves, always great. And we have lots of outdoor content and some variety shows. Again, everything's at TalkNorth.com. If you'd like to advertise with anybody across the network, reach out to our sales executive, Karen Cleary, K-C-L-E-A-R-Y, at TalkNorth.com. And we do appreciate everybody who's listened to the network and helped us grow. Also want to let you know, we are brought to you by propane.
It's something that a lot of people are buzzing about, reducing carbon emissions. It's good for everyone. But how do we reduce emissions while also meeting our world's increasing energy needs? Using propane is an excellent way to reduce emissions while meeting energy needs today. Propane is a clean, non-toxic energy source that helps reduce carbon emissions right now. In fact, propane's carbon intensity score in Minnesota is only 80. Grid electricity in Minnesota, including wind and solar, has a much higher carbon intensity score of 136. Who knew that using propane was that much cleaner than electricity? Plus, the abundance of propane and growth of renewable propane means it can be used for generations to come. Millions of Americans rely on propane to heat their homes and businesses, fuel vehicles on road and off, and much more, making propane the right energy right now. Find out more about what propane can do for you and the environment by going to propane.com.
Use propane. I dare you to use propane more than I do. I don't know if it's possible, but I recommend that. And also, John, quickly tell us about the show we have coming up, TCO.
Yeah, Twin Cities Orthopedic. They've got a new facility in Brooklyn Park. And on the May 21st, that's Saturday, we're closing in on that. From 11 to 2, we're going to be there. That's the grand opening. Address is 5601 96th Avenue North in Brooklyn Park. Up in the northern suburbs, it's going to be great. It's a family-friendly event, open to the public. There'll be a Vikings present there with cheerleaders, the Skull Line. And we're going to talk to Mr. Basketball this year, Braden Carrington from Park Center High School. He'll be there. He'll join us. We'll talk to him about an injury that TCO helped him overcome to finish the season for the state championship Park Center basketball team. We'll ask him about his future with the Gophers, Ben Johnson, the whole story there. There'll be swag bags for the first 150 people, chances to win Vikings memorabilia. You can tour the facility. Lots of games, lots of activities for all ages. And speaking of Jody Stay in the Pizza Barn, the Pizza Barn food truck will be there. We can't wait. We're going to eat some more of that great Pizza Barn stuff like we did tonight.
Our next topic will be honoring future teachers. But Jody, tell me about running this business and having it be so aligned with, you know, local sports, local high school sports, local youth sports, because we know that you take the pizza truck out, but you feed local officials. You always see, every time we're here, we see coaches walking in and grabbing pizza between events. Just tell me about how the business has evolved into that kind of a community asset.
Well, that's a credit to my dad. He was passionate about high school sports. He was a high school athlete. And I think it just translated when he became a business owner in Princeton in 83 when we opened, that he hired athletes. He attended athletic games. Of course, my brother and I were athletes in high school, and so he was at the school a lot. So he sponsored things a lot. People leaned on him a lot for donations and support, and it's just something that I carried over that he started. So, and I just took it to a different level and did different things and new things. You know, with sponsoring the Thank a Ref program, you know, I just thought when we were so short of officials, well, what can we do to help with that, you know? And it's like, well, let's, you know, give them a shout out when they're here. Let's feed them so they don't have to stop on the way home. They're here late. They usually have quite a drive home. They're coming from everywhere. So we started with that. And, you know, we sponsor a lot of teams. We sponsor the scoreboards at the schools. Princeton baseball just got a new scoreboard up at Solheim Field, and we are part of that sponsorship program. So it just keeps on evolving. They keep coming to us, and we keep nodding our heads and saying, yeah, we'll do it.
There you go. And, you know, what you've done with the Thank a Ref thing, feeding officials, people all over the state know about the Pizza Barn and that. And I've heard from people in other states, other high school associations. They want to know more about this Thank a Ref thing and this pizza place that feeds all the officials that come. And I tell them what's going on. It's the simplest thing, but it's overwhelming that happens, and you started that.
Right. And I've been accused of trying to, you know, grease the wheels of the officials sure. for my own personal gain, but
not a bad try.
You know, but it was kind of shocking to me that no, not at all. I'm there, and you know, I'm doing my best to just appreciate them the way they should be and go from there.
We always need more officials. We talk about it all the time. Yes. And that's a great way to show them how much we appreciate them.
And if Princeton gets one more call a night, what the heck?
What the heck? I mean,
true.
All right, we're going to be checking in with Jody here in a little bit. And again, Jody, just feel free to chime in.
Yeah,
if
we
you
need
have any
to talk
questions.
About the pizza of the month, too, because I just had it. Yes. I just enjoyed it.
Yeah, John's still smiling.
Yes, he is. Let's get to that. But we, you know, this is another cool thing you do on the show, John, is honoring future teachers.
Yeah, I kind of pushed this before the pandemic in 2018. I think I heard about a school in my native state of Iowa that started having a yearly signing ceremony for kids who are going to become teachers. Makes nothing but sense. We do this for athletes. A lot of schools do it for academic reasons, but kids who are going to become teachers. So it's back now. We're past the pandemic. So last week I was really honored down at Wilmer High School. I spoke at their future teaching signing ceremony in 2019. That's the last time they did it. So they asked if I'd come back. So one day last week I was there at a really cool ceremony before school. I think they had 14 kids in the senior class who are going to become teachers. Served everybody breakfast. The kids all stood up, talked about why they want to be a teacher. Everybody had mom and dad there or mentors, and every one of them was invited to invite a teacher, which was really neat to hear them talk about their teachers. And the same day, Maple Lake High School did the same thing. I've been there for their ceremony in the past, and next week I'll be speaking at another future teacher signing ceremony, this one at Burnsville High School. And the person, one of the people in charge of that, just happens to be my daughter who teaches there. So she sent me a text, would you speak at our thing next week? And we negotiated a price, and it's going to, I can confirm it will happen.
I'm guessing it was about, I don't know, I can't give an exact number. It was about 3 Diet Mountain Dews.
Something like that.
That was the price.
Something like that.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So that's that's a great thing. I you know, my mom's a retired teacher. My daughter's clearly a teacher, and it's just there's nothing more important than teachers. I think we all agree on that. And to see kids excited about it, and you know, and the principal Paul Schmitz at Wilmer, as he spoke to the group, he talked about, you know, one of his jobs is hiring teachers. So when you guys are done, you come back here, and if we can make it happen, we love to have graduates of our school come back and teach. So it's pretty special.
Out about it. Any notes you want to get to?
Yeah,
today?
A few brief notes here. Speaking of my daughter, who's the teacher, she graduated with her second master's degree from Minnesota State Mankato on Saturday. Because of that commitment, I missed the state robotics tournament, which was Saturday at Williams Arena. It's one of my favorite events. I'll be back next year, barring further family graduations. I think we're done now, but congrats to all the teams that competed. The way this works is alliances are formed, so 3 teams compete together. This year, the state championship alliance involved teams from Greenbush, Middle River, Becker, and Edina. And it's really cool to see kids from Greenbush and Middle River, Minnesota, teammates with kids from Edina, and then you've got Becker kids. It really says a lot about how cool robotics is. So that's always a great event. And now coming up this week on Friday, we'll be at Bolero in Brooklyn Park for the High School League Adapted Bowling State Tournament. That is just a gas. I love doing that. One day last week, I almost made it to Princeton. I stopped in Elk River. I went to a girls' lacrosse game, and it was a chance to see the new facilities there at Elk River High School, brand new stadium. Their ice arena, which is a couple years old, is unbelievable. If you want to know more about that, go to John's Journal at mshsl.org. There's some photos. Really, really neat, boy. You know, and I've talked about this before. I have a running list of turf fields at Minnesota high schools. We're way past 100, and the first one came like 20 years ago. It's just amazing how much that's changed. Quick congratulations to ESCO baseball coach Ben Haugen on his 250th career victory. And just this week, we had a state record set in track and field. Ava Sinemo of Rosemount, she went absolutely nuts in the girls' triple jump. This was at a true team section meet. Her distance was 41 feet 6 inches. The previous record was 41 2 and a quarter. In a jumping event, that is busting that record. Yeah. When you go that far, the previous record was set in 2018 by Allison Weiss of Eastridge. So, and I will predict right now, as the weather warms up before the track season's over, we're going to have more state records set. And I've got my eyes on two or three kids who I think are ready to do that. So we'll have more in the future, hopefully.
You made me flash on a scene. This is completely irrelevant and goofy, but I'll just mention it because it came into my head, and that's what I do, is mention everything comes to my head on these podcasts.
You tweet it, too?
Yeah,
a lot
sure.
of people do that.
Sure,
every thought
I'll tweet
you have,
it, too.
Tweet
sure.
it.
I'm having lunch with the mayor of Edina and Joe Grubner, my favorite golf instructor from Braemar, and they look over, and they start waving at this group of kids all wearing green T-shirts. It's like lunchtime or something like that. And it was the Edina robotics team, and they had just come from winning some major award, and we ended up talking to them, and I've never felt dumber in my entire life. I mean, they were so much smarter than I could ever hope to be. It was like they were just quick and funny, and they were talking in a language I don't even understand.
No, and the robotics kids are unbelievable. They have more fun. There's music.
Yeah, and
involved.
They were having fun. I think
lights
what?
Are flashing. It's like a Las Vegas show yeah. involving robots.
It's great.
And the kids from Edina and the robotics kids from Badger Greenbush, they know each other really well because in the summer they take like a week or a long weekend and they spend it together. You know, I think generally the kids from Edina go up to Northwest Minnesota, they go visit farms and they learn to drive tractors and they just have a ball up there. And every year I want to go up there and spend some time and write about it. And here they are, you know, part of a state championship robotics team. I have one of those Edina robotics T-shirts. It was dropped off on my desk in my office. I don't know, 3-4 years ago. And I can't pry it out of my wife's hands. She saw it, and she wears it regularly. So
I love it. Joey, you have a son who had some high school success and is heading to North Dakota. Is that right?
Correct.
So what was it like for you to be feeding officials and running this place and raising kids all at the same time?
I had my hands full. I was doing a lot of running, and, of course, they had a long season, fortunately, because, they – played the section tournament and won it and earned a trip to state. And so I just got to extend my son's senior year a little bit longer with basketball. And now we hang up the basketball uniform and the accolades from his seasons and times with Princeton. And we head up to Grand Forks on July 5th. He leaves for school to start football practice up there. He just had a knee surgery 2-3 weeks ago. One of his doctors is sitting here listening today, too. So he's doing well. He's recovered quickly. And, he's ready to head up to North Dakota and change from orange and black to green and black. So we got to say our goodbyes here to prep sports with him and turn the page.
Well, he's a great young man. I've talked to him a number of times. I've seen him play football and basketball. And to see him, knowing he had a knee and continue to play basketball.
Right.
It's really impressive.
Yeah.
Really impressive to see him.
Couldn't be
work
happier
through that.
With how the team did down there.
Oh,
they
so
just
much fun.
And he played his heart out. I think he knew that this was it for basketball and he just went to town and they just did great.
I think I texted you a picture. We have post game interview sessions and he's at the table with coach and
sure.
some other kids. I think I texted you a picture
yes,
from one of those.
Did.
And he was awesome. He's just so great. You know. I do this for a living, so I know when kids really get it, and he's one of those kids. He knows how important this is and how much the team means to him, and you could tell. So I just have a hard time saying Fighting Hawks and not Fighting Sioux.
Yeah.
Because I used to cover college hockey,
yeah,
and I was up there
for a while. He's too young to know that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he'll be schooled on that when he gets up there. But
when does he go?
July 5th.
Oh, that's a short summer.
It's a very short summer. He'll be hitting the grad party circuit in June. I probably won't see him very much. He'll bless us with a little time with him over the 4th of July, and then north we go, and it'll be an exciting journey to see where that takes him.
There you go. We'll see. Open a pizza branch satellite office in Grand Forks, and you're set.
Yes. Yes. We have talked about bringing the food truck up for tailgating
oh,
and see how
oh,
that
yeah.
would work out.
Oh, good Lord.
So,
that sounds
you never
like a winner.
Know. Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
How long a drive is it from here?
It's about four and a half hours from Princeton, yeah. I'll have to take some weekends off to get my Saturdays off.
Take a day off once in a while, would you?
You're not the only person that tells me that.
I would imagine not. What else would you like to talk about
today,
John?
Well, we've got a most valuable teammate, and that's all I've got on my list here, Jim.
Okay.
Let's go with the this week's most valuable teammate, this great award we do at the high school league. Leah Prohl is a junior from Maple River. She participates in speech. Leah's skills in the areas of humor and voice have provided her a leg up both in competition and with her teammates. She volunteered to lead weekly character workshops for teammates in the hopes of improving everybody's skills. Leah often led captain's practices in speech. It is an all-around valuable teammate and captain. So congrats to this week's most valuable teammate, Leah Prohl of Maple River.
At least one more topic to go. Thank you for the sitting room only crowd that came out to hang out with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Yay. As we said, it's a semi-capacity crowd.
Well, I just feel foolish bringing all the security guards. I probably shouldn't have done that.
That's all right.
They stayed out in the truck.
You're in Princeton, you're safe.
Brianne's the strong arm of the law here.
If there's trouble, we're going to duck, Brianne. Good luck.
That's right. So to say my thank yous, of course, thank you to Pizza Barn. Thank you to TCO. Looking forward to doing the show out there May 21st. Follow John on Twitter at MSHSLJohn for more details. We'll be putting out on social media and bring some people out. It was a great we did one out in, was it Stillwater?
Yes, I missed that.
It was Stillwater.
That's right. Yeah, I wasn't there. That TCO in Stillwater.
That was an absolute blast. They did a great job with it. Ryan Shaver, you know, Randy's son, my friend, helps organize these things, and they end up being just a blast. So come on out and check it out. Check out the new facilities. Obviously, they're very good at what they do. Thank you to Propane. We do recommend using Propane, and thank you to our producer Brianne Burdett for not causing too much trouble here. So one topic we kind of visit on when we get together is. It always feels to me, from talking to you, John, and from talking to you, Jody, is I don't think we need to worry too much about the future. You know,
heavens
it's like
no.
When you spend time around high school kids, you feel a lot better about the state of the union. So I'm just opening that up as a general topic to say anything you guys want to about.
I tell that to people a lot, people who are concerned about the future. Oh, look at these kids these days. I said, come with me. Let's go visit a school. Let's go to a game. Let's go talk to some kids. We're fine. These kids are smart. They get it. They know what's important. Certainly there are episodes we'd rather not have. That's going to happen because we're all humans. But, yeah, the kids are just, I don't know if it's Minnesota schools. I don't know if it's Minnesota. I don't know what it is. But it's just so gratifying to spend time with these kids, like these boys volleyball players who are coming to this big momentous meeting. They want to see this happen. They want to celebrate. They could have started throwing stuff. They could have been booing and hissing. They just didn't make a peep, quietly left the room, super disappointed. But, you know, their behavior could not have been more impressive. And it's easy to be on great behavior when things are great. But when times are tough, that, I think, tests people. And we see that all the time on the high school level. I know Jody does. She has a lot of high school kids who work here at the Pizza Barn. She's probably the best mentor they've ever had. Yeah, it's just impressive. And like you, Jim, I spent a lot of time around professional athletes, and they're all people. Some of them are fantastic individuals, just happen to be super talented. Some of them might have some issues, but everybody's different. But on the high school level, I can't imagine, not doing this. And someday I won't. But right now, it's the time of my life.
And I'll say that, as someone who covers professional athletes, I think we've seen a marked difference in recent generations where these guys, like I talked to Royce Lewis yesterday at the ballpark, and he played high school ball, went to play minor leagues, and usually when you used to first encounter somebody with that profile, they're pretty raw. They're pretty, right. they were afraid of the second deck, they were afraid of the bright lights, took them a while to adapt, they weren't sure how to conduct an interview. It's amazing how polished these people are now. Royce Lewis, he could run for office tomorrow and he could handle it, And so I do think that, there are some negatives, plenty of negatives in our society. But I think one of the positives is if a kid's on the right path, they can really develop quickly because they have access to so many outlets, if I'm putting it the right way.
I think you are.
But Jody, I want your perspective on all that because you employ these people.
I do. And it's so funny you should ask this because just today we just hired a new full-time employee and we were chatting today when he was getting started, and he asked me, well, how did you fare through the pandemic? And I said, our kids got us through this pandemic because all of a sudden they were shut down. They couldn't do their activities and their sports, and they're so used to going, you know, constantly. They go to school all day long, then they go to their activity. They're traveling for their activities, and all of a sudden now they couldn't do that. So they said, Jody, can we work? For sure. Yeah, let's get you working more, you know? And that's really the only thing they could do. Mom and Dad were either, you're either home or at school. Well, can I work? Yep, you could work. And so, you know, we have to take our precautions, but, you know, we're dealing with the pandemic hangover, as you call it now. But those kids have just carried us through not only the pandemic, but I feel like we get the cream of the crop here, you know, because we hire good kids and their good friends follow. And I just couldn't be happier with the relationship I have with these kids and how hard they work for me and how much they care. And, you know, sometimes they're young when they start. They're maybe 15, 16 years old, and you kind of got to guide them through the time management part of it. And, okay, if you want time off, this is how you get it. And, you know, it's just a response. And then you see them blossom, and by the time they're getting ready to leave their senior year and go off to school or do what they want to do, they've just grown. So you've seen this growth in them, you know, physically and the maturity level. And I love it. That's one of my favorite parts of being an employer is getting to know all these kids.
I bet as they get older, they realize how lucky they are to have this experience.
I love the fact that they can always remember, my first job was at the pizza barn. And they, you know, to this day, they come back. Just walk in the back door. Hey, Jody, how are you? They're in their 20s, 30s, whatever.
Oh, man.
Or I used to work for your dad back
sure.
in, you know, 1994. So, you know, so it's just fun to hear the stories and see the people. And, you know, they change over the years, but, you know, we don't. We're always here. Our recipes are the same. You know, the people might come and go, but our family's here. So it's just nice to always have that gathering place for the people to come back, whether they worked here or they just were a customer. It's great.
Speaking of recipes, let's talk about that as yet unnamed pizza of the month.
Yes.
I just had it, and holy mackerel.
Well, I'm going to be very careful here, as you know.
Yes, yes. Let's be careful how we state this.
This came from one of the first questions my son asked me when he came out of surgery about 3 weeks ago. I said, are you hungry? And he's like, can we stop at Cane's on the way home? I said, okay, yes, we can stop at Cane's. And it dawned on me, my God, these kids love this Cane's, you know. And I've tried it before. It is very good. And I thought, gosh, that would be, because in my world, as I've told you both before, everything is a potential pizza topping, you know. So I thought, I wonder if I can try to replicate the sauce, because I do know it's a secret sauce. And so I think I did a pretty good job of
absolutely.
Duping
you nailed,
it.
You nailed
yeah.
it. Yeah.
And then we just use our chicken strips and we, you know, dice them up. We throw them on the pizza and then we put a little cheese because you can't have a pizza without cheese, right? And I wasn't sure what to call it. I mean, you can't call it the Cane's pizza. You know, I got to probably pay a fee for that or get sued. So my favorite creative idea so far has been the barn raiser. Take a pizza barn. Raising Cane's, the barn raiser.
I like
so if
that.
Anybody can come up with anything better than that, you know, shoot me a message.
I don't
think
you can beat that. That's pretty good.
That is really
that's
good.
Hard to beat.
Yes. So
I was thinking Cane and Abel, but that's a whole different.
Yeah, it's a different vibe.
Someone did suggest that, but we'll be serving that the whole month of May. So as people are heading up north this summer, if they want to swing in, they can do a take and bake or they can grab a pizza and eat it in the car. Or we're selling it out of the food truck this Friday night at the Princeton baseball game. There's softball and baseball side by side at the same time, so they can try a slice. We're just come drive up, drive over.
Anybody has
drive
any
down.
Questions, ask me. I will.
Yes, you just have
I
it.
Will put my hand on a Bible and tell you how great it is.
And and in future episodes, we'll be telling everybody about Pizza Barn's second food truck. The first one was such a great success going all over the place. They're going to have a second one. So
July 1st.
John and I have future employment possibilities.
That's right. Food truck driver.
Yes.
Pit crew.
That'd be good side benefits on that one.
Excellent.
Hey, Jody, thanks for everything. We appreciate
absolutely.
It. And thank you
thanks
for having us
again.
Out again. We appreciate it. We won't make it so long next time. You know, now that it's a lot, it's more fun to come up here during the summer. We all kind of just, you know, hang out and watch people walking in, walking out. So we'll be back again soon. Again, thanks to Brianne Burdett, our producer. Thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. And keep listening to Prep Day with John Millay. John will keep cranking the good stuff out.